Hey, this is Julie Mullins, co-senior pastor here at Christ Fellowship Church right here in South Florida. Whether you're across the street or across the world, thank you for taking time out of your busy week to join us for this message. We hope that it encourages you and inspires you to get more out of life.
We're kicking off a brand new series today entitled Red Letter Invitations. And some of you are familiar with a red letter Bible that where the words of Jesus are actually all printed in red. And those words, they help us know, oh, those are the words that Jesus are speaking. Those are the words that lead to life. And I wanna pay attention to those words that Jesus spoke over me. And so during this series, we're actually gonna look at the words where Jesus invites us to join him in something. So that's why it's a red letter invitation. Now, invitations come in all different shapes and sizes, don't they? Some of them are very formal. You might get a wedding invitation, a graduation invitation, some to a birthday party. Some might be in the form of an evite in your email or simply a text that a friend sends you to say, hey, you wanna go to dinner? But all of those invitations, regardless of the form they take, they all have one thing in common. They require a response. Right? They require something of you. In fact, most of the invitations have those letters RSVP right there. Anybody know what that means? Port St. Lucie, Boynton, no? Anybody? Respondez s'il vous plaît. Oui, oui, right? Basically, they wanna know, are you coming? Are you coming to the wedding? Are you coming to the party, right? Your friend that's sending you the text, he even wants to know, are you gonna come to dinner or not? Let me know, I need to know. And so Jesus has given us some invitations that we're gonna look at over these next several weeks leading up to Holy Week and leading up to Easter. And can I tell you that Jesus is expecting a response? So this first invitation we're gonna look at today is the invitation that Jesus gives us to fast and pray. Now, as a church, we have studied a lot about prayer, what prayer is, how we pray, when we pray, but today we're gonna focus on fasting, what fasting is. Now, in our culture today, fasting has become kind of popular in the health and fitness industry. You can Google the benefits of fasting and you're gonna see all sorts of things like it can lower your blood cholesterol, your blood pressure, it can balance off the blood sugars, it can boost brain activity, it can make you feel better, all these things that physically happen when you fast, but that's not what we're talking about. There are physical benefits, but can I tell you there are spiritual benefits to fasting? There is a difference between fasting for physical reasons, which maybe many of you have done, and fasting for spiritual reasons. And when I read the Bible, especially the early church, you see them fasting all the time. In the book of Acts, when you read it, the church, they fasted and prayed for wisdom and power and boldness. The Apostle Paul would fast to hear from the Lord for direction. In fact, in Acts chapter 27, he's caught in a middle of a storm on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, and he's fasting for 14 days that God would spare their lives. In Acts chapter 13, the very first missionary trip is birthed out of a season of prayer and fasting. The church fasted and prayed and told them to go send Paul and Barnabas out on a missionary journey. In fact, before this time of prayer and fasting, Paul had never gone on a missionary trip. There was no organized mission work to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul had not even written any of the books that fill up the New Testament, but this group of ordinary people in a church, like you and me, prayed and fasted, and I would say history was forever changed. Your history was forever changed because prayer and fasting is powerful. Jesus invites us to join him in prayer and fasting. In fact, we read in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, this is the longest recorded sermon that Jesus gives, and he says to us in Matthew 6, verse 16, he says, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled and they want everybody to know they're fasting so they get all this reward, right? He says, don't do that. But I want you to notice the very first word in that scripture, when you fast. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. Jesus assumed that his followers would be fasting. In fact, a few verses earlier in verse 6, Jesus is talking about prayer and he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that love to pray so that everyone can see them, right? That's what he says. He puts the same emphasis on fasting as he does prayer. And just as you would never expect to be a follower of Jesus and not pray, Jesus would never expect you not to fast. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he hits on the things that we as followers will do. Serving, giving, forgiving, praying, fasting, walking in holiness. All of it is mapped out here to follow Jesus. I want to look a moment at a passage of scripture that was very significant when Jesus was starting his earthly ministry. It happens right after he's baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist, and the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descends and the voice of God is heard saying, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And the very next verse says that he is led into the wilderness to be tried and tempted. Nothing changed. God is still pleased in him. But he's having to go through a wilderness experience, which is, by the way, encouragement to us. If you're in a wilderness experience, doesn't mean God has turned his back on you. Doesn't mean God isn't still pleased with you. Doesn't mean God hasn't got you. He's just getting you ready for what's coming up. So this is what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I bet he was. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It was given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." And Jesus again said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil then led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up with their hands so they will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said," or "it is written, do not put the Lord your God to a test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned to the Galilee in the, look at that, power of the Spirit. So notice, during this time of temptation, the devil is attacking Jesus' identity. If you are the Son of God, right at a point of weakness, trying to get him to question who he really is. By the way, the devil will always try to plant seeds in your identity, seeds of doubt, make you question your identity, because he knows if he can attack your identity, he can make you miss your destiny, because you don't know who you are, which is why it's so important that you know who you are, that you know that you are called, that you are chosen by God, that you are anointed by God, that you are full of the Holy Spirit, ready to bust up the gates of hell. Three truths. Thank you for that golf clap. I know y'all been at the little golf tournament this week. Got used to that, yes. Three truths that I see in this passage that apply for us today. All right. Truth number one, we're all gonna deal with temptation. If Jesus had to deal with temptation, you're gonna have to deal with temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to bear it, but will with the temptation, he will also provide" what? "A way to escape." So if you're taking notes, write this down. Temptation isn't a sin, it's a battle cry. Temptation is not a sin, it's a battle cry. When you're tempted, don't be like, "Oh, I can't believe I was thinking that. Oh, I can't believe." No, no, no. When temptation comes knocking at your door, you don't have to answer that door. Every temptation is actually an opportunity for victory. And so in this passage, this ties into fasting, in this passage, Jesus is showing us how to deal with temptation. So many people, so many Christians, we never learn how to deal with it, so we are destroyed by it. And the first thing I want you to see is that every time the devil tempts Jesus, what does he do? Every time he quotes the word back to him, right? He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written, do not put the Lord God to your test. So what you need to do when you're tempted, you need to pull out it is written. It is written, I am the head and not the tail. It is written that no weapon formed against me is gonna prosper no matter how many times it comes against me. It is written that my God's gonna supply all my, it is written, it is written. So the second truth I see, not only are you gonna be tempted, but without the word, you're gonna be weak. Without this word, you are weak against any attack that the enemy tries to bring against you. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual armor that we have to put on. And I don't have time to read that verse. Many of you know that verse, but he basically says, put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the attacks of the enemy. And then he begins to list out the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and all the pieces of the armor are to protect you in a defensive posture against the attack of the enemy, except one. There is only one piece of armor that puts you on the offense, that puts you on the attack, and it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You gotta pick up the sword in order to take out the devil. You will never take out the devil until you pick up the sword. Some of you are wondering why you're so weak. Some of you are wondering why it seems like the devil's got the upper hand in your home, got the upper hand in your marriage, got the upper hand in your thought life. Well, can I tell you? You don't have the word, so you're weak. And you can't fight your enemy with my word. Because you can't be in the middle of a battle and be going, oh, wait, what was that verse Todd quoted last week? I'm ahead and something, and I'm gonna conquer somebody and know something is gonna weapon some. No, honey, that ain't gonna work for you. Like, you gotta get this word down in your heart, down in your spirit, so it comes out of your mouth when the devil begins to attack. It's gotta be your word. You gotta be able to go, no, in all things, I am more than a conqueror through him who has loved me. Psalm 91 says that the Lord is my refuge and my fortress and my God, and I can run in and he will cover me and protect me. And so I don't need to worry about the terror at night or the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It ain't coming anywhere near my home. People tell me, well, Todd, I don't know if I can memorize scripture. I don't know. Yet they know every stat of their favorite team and their, oh yeah, I'm going there. They know every song to Taylor Swift and what she ate for breakfast, but you can't memorize the word of life? Come on, people. Without the word, you're weak. Don't be weak. Get in the word. The third truth that I see from this passage, very simple, is that Jesus fasted. And if Jesus fasted, he's inviting us to join him in this fast. At the beginning of his ministry, think about this. As he was stepping into his destiny, what did he do? He fasted. Makes you ask the question, why would Jesus, the Son of God, who is fully God himself, why would he need to fast and pray? And yet when you study the life of Jesus, you see that all the time he was going off to pray. He was leaving his disciples, going to a quiet place before it was even, the sun was up. He was getting up early, going to spend time with the Father. Why? Because prayer is one of the spiritual practices that actually connects you to God. Spirit man, communing with spirit God. Fasting is another spiritual practice that actually connects you with God. It reminds you that you are first and foremost a spiritual being, made in the image of God. And just like your physical body needs food to sustain and thrive, your spiritual body needs spiritual food to thrive. It reminds you of that. Jesus knew that if he was gonna fulfill his destiny and do what God had given him the assignment to do, that he could not do it in his own strength, because remember, he was clothed in humanity while he was here. Fully God, but fully man. So Jesus fasted because he knew his flesh was weak. Jesus fasted because he knew he was gonna have to withstand the temptation of the devil. I believe his fasting was a declaration that he was not gonna be controlled by his flesh, that he was under the authority of God and controlled by the Spirit of God. See, fasting actually declares spiritual authority over our human nature. When you fast and you join us in this fast over these next few weeks, you are making a bold declaration. You are saying, you're declaring, God has authority over my life. The flesh does not have authority over my life. And if Jesus needed to do this, how much more do you and me, we need to do it. So for the last 12 years, our church has dedicated 21 days to prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's at the beginning of the year in January, sometimes it's the 21 days leading up to Easter Sunday, which it is this year. But can I tell you, every time we have done this, we have witnessed the miraculous, the supernatural in our midst. Three things that are gonna happen as you fast. The first is that you are gonna hear God's voice. You will hear, if you fast and pray for 21 days, you will hear God's voice. I'm talking about the audible voice of God. I've never heard that yet, I'm still waiting. But there are times when I'm fasting that I hear God's voice so clearly, his Spirit speaking to my spirit, it's as clear as the words that are coming out of my mouth today. There are times when I need direction. Julie and I need direction for our family, for the church. We go into a season of fasting and prayer. Might not be for 21 days, might be for a week. And God begins to speak clearly to us, give us direction for things that we need to do, for problems that we don't know how to solve them. It's like the light of heaven just shines down in this moment. You will hear God's voice. I remember one time years and years ago when we were talking about buying a Dillard's store down in Boynton. Hey, Boynton. And everybody was saying, oh, you better not buy it. Oh, that mall's gonna fall apart. Oh, you don't know what's gonna happen. Oh, there's no money for that. And I remember driving around the parking lot going, God, I know what they all think. I need to know what you think. So we were fasting and praying, and all I heard as I was in the parking lot down in Boynton was the Holy Spirit say, I am with you on this. I am with you on this. So I invited our elders to pray because I don't make decisions by myself. And so all of our elders began to fast and pray. I shared with them what God spoke to me, and God confirmed in all of them, God is with us in this. And look what God's doing down in Boynton Beach. Mall or no mall, people's lives are being changed. You will hear God's voice because your ear is tuned in to his Spirit. Think about it. Every time you get hungry, you're praying. Every time you smell your neighbor grilling, they all decide to grill during these 21 days. I'm just telling you, you can smell burgers 3 miles away. I'm like, it's a reminder to tune into the Spirit of God. That God, I'm more hungry for you. We're gonna take physical hunger, we're gonna turn it into spiritual hunger, amen? Every time you open up your Bible, you're gonna hear the voice of God. He's speaking. Every time you come to church and you sit in a sermon, you're gonna hear more clearly. You're gonna be like, Todd, have you been listening to the conversation we've been having in our home? Right. Well, actually, when you sign up for the CF app, Alexa lets us know some of the, no. Just kidding. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, right? He was speaking to you. Remember, the word for the year is encounter. Yeah. That you would have this year would be marked by you having face-to-face encounters with God. That you would have your own burning bush experiences like Moses had, to the point that it radically changes and transforms your life. Can I tell you that when you go into a season of prayer and fasting, you are setting yourself up for a God encounter. You wanna have a God encounter? You commit to the next 21 days. Say, God, I'm gonna seek your heart, I'm gonna seek your face, I'm gonna seek your word, I wanna know everything you have for me. The second thing that's gonna happen, not only will you hear his voice, you will know his power. You will tap into his power in a way that you don't when you are living on your own power. It says in 2 Corinthians 12 that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That when we are weak and down and we don't have any strength, that his strength completes us. And when we are relying on our own strength, that runs out. But his strength is endless. His power is limitless, right? Matthew 19, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Ephesians 3, God can do more than you could ever think or imagine. The problem is, too many of us are relying on the wrong power source. We think we need more self-control, and so we read books and listen to podcasts. That all we need is more willpower. You don't need more willpower, you need more God's power. You need the Spirit power in you, because the Spirit of God is the only power that can break an addiction or a stronghold. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can help you forgive somebody that's hurt you or your family. The Spirit of the God is the only thing that can help you get back up when everybody else is kicking you down. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And so when you are fasting and praying, you are tapping in to the supernatural power of God. Where do I know this? Well, I've experienced it in my own life, but I actually see it in that passage of scripture that we just read in Luke chapter 4. Go back to that for a minute. At the very beginning, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. He fasted. And at the end of that, he was hungry. And then at the very end of the passage, in verse 14, Jesus returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So he starts off full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. But after this experience of fasting and seeking God, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit, which seems to tell me in my study of the word that there is a distinction between being full of the Spirit and being empowered by the Spirit. Could it be that there are Christians that have the Holy Spirit, but they are lacking and denying the power thereof? So when you go into a season of fasting and prayer, you're actually depending on God. His strength, you're seeking him. You're not denying the power. You're actually saying, God, I can't make it without your power. I can't make it without your presence in my life. I am desperate for you, God. Strengthen you, your power. One of the things that it strengthens in you is your no muscle. And we've talked about this before, but I think we need to talk about it again. We all need a no muscle. We need to say no. We need to be able to say no. No, I don't need to do that. No, I don't need to buy that. No, I don't need to think that. No, I don't need to say that. And the problem is we don't like no. From the moment you were a little kid and your parents told you no, right? Something just rises up inside of you. We don't like it. We don't like our friends telling us no. We don't like our spouse telling us no. We don't even like to say no to ourselves. We live in a culture that says, just, you know, get what you want when you want. Man, you work hard. You deserve it. Get yours, man. And even if you don't fully adhere to that philosophy, we all have a weak no muscle. I wanted pizza this week. I got pizza this week. You want sushi? You go get sushi. You want Chick-fil-A? I go get some Chick-fil-A. Except on Sundays because they're closed. And there's nothing wrong with getting Chick-fil-A and getting pizza. But sometimes you need to say no. Yeah. There are things in your life that will take you out if you say yes to it. Yeah. And so you've got to learn how to say no. And if you never exercise a no muscle, you won't have it when you need it. So you need to exercise. Fasting exercises a no muscle. No, I'm not going to just watch Netflix again. No, I'm not just going to eat that again. No, no, I'm learning how to say no. Nothing wrong with eating that, but I'm learning how to say no. I'm strengthening my no muscle. So when I need to use it, it's there. You need a no muscle. Turn and tell the person next to you, you need a no muscle. Lord Jesus. Tell the other person you need two. Okay, when you fast, you're gonna hear God's voice. You're gonna know God's power. And the last one is this, you will experience God's provision. Can I tell you, every year in the season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, we experience the supernatural, powerful work of God in our midst, unlike any other time. Now we experience his healing power and man, restoring families, but man, during the 21 days, woo, it's lit up with the supernatural. Families being healed, marriage. We had one couple that they were on the verge of divorce. They had done everything but sign the papers of divorce, and it was getting ready to enter into 21 days of prayer and fasting, and they heard the challenge, and they thought, well, we got nothing to lose, let's do this. So for 21 days, they prayed together and they fasted. They opened the door for God to step into their mess. And do you know that when they did, God began to work and they began to talk and they were like, we need to go to counseling. And they got into Christian counseling. And then the husband realized he needed to go to Celebrate Recovery because he had some stuff. And so he went to Celebrate Recovery. And today they are more in love than ever before. All because they said, let's give it a go. Let's try. Let's say yes to the invitation. The very first year we did this, it was 21 days leading up to Easter, just like this. And we had a family in our church by the name of the Dolan family. And the Dolan family's parents and grandparents, they were far from God. And so they said, we're gonna fast together for our parents and grandparents to get saved, for mom and dad to get saved. And they were far from God, involved in the witchcraft and the occult. That's how far they were from God. And so every day during the 21 days when they would get hungry, they would pray for grandma and grandpa to get saved, that God would speak to their hearts. And they were, even though they were praying for 21 days, they were all shocked on Easter Sunday when they showed up for Easter service. Yeah, out at our Royal Palm campus, they came and the parents sat in the very last row of Easter services. And at the end of the service, not only did they raise their hand for salvation, but they got up and they walked down to the front. And today they're leading Bible studies in their church in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could tell you about Brenda that needed a job, and at the end of 21 days, she got an awesome job. I could tell you about Justin, who was struggling with addiction to drugs and alcohol, and after 21 days, it broke. It's like the taste and desire for it was gone. I could tell you about Steve, who was estranged from his son for 7 years, had not talked to him. And so he fasted that relationship would be restored. And at the end of the 21 days, his son called him and began to build back that relationship. Back during our series in January, Too Good to Not Believe, we told you the story of a young man in our church by the name of Nathan Todd. And Nathan had been in a horrible car accident, and he was in a coma for weeks. And we told you the story of his recovery. But this past week, I actually got with Nathan's dad, Scott, and Scott filled me in on a little bit more of the story. He said for weeks, there was no brain activity that the doctors could find. The doctors said you need to give up. They said there's no hope. There's one doctor who said it's all done. But there was a group of people that were praying and fasting. And at the end, the last day of their fast, Nathan opened one eye. One eye. So guess what they kept doing? They kept praying and fasting. Pretty soon he opened up both eyes. Pretty soon he wiggled something and he moved something, right? Pretty soon things started. So they were so excited, but then they had to get him into a rehab. But no rehab. Rehabs all said he's not doing good enough. Sorry, that's not enough to get him in here. So the team went back to praying and fasting. And on the last day of their fast, the rehab center that they wanted to get into, the best in the nation, called them and said, there's room for Nathan. So they threw Nathan on a plane. They said, come on, Leody, we're going up here. He got up to this rehab center. They were teaching him how to walk and how to use his legs again and move till the very day he walked out of that rehab center that we prayed to get him into. All because some people prayed and fast. And you may say, well, Todd, is there something special about prayer and fasting? There's a story that takes place with Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, where a father has a son who's demon-possessed and has this sickness that keeps throwing him, the kid keeps throwing himself in the fire and in the water, and he brings him to the disciples, and the disciples pray over him, but nothing changes. And then they bring him to Jesus, and it says that Jesus casts out the devil, the demon, inside of him, and he's healed. So the disciples come back to Jesus and say, hey, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus replied in verse 20, truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, there's that mustard seed faith. This is what it ties into, that story. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and say it with me, it will move. Say that again, it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you, he says. In verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and, look at that, fasting. So first, let's focus on the it will move. There's some things that you know need to move. There's some things you've been praying for. God, I need it to move. Right here, Jesus said it will move. It may be too big for you. It's okay. It's not too big for God. It will, maybe it hasn't moved yet. It will move. Maybe you can't move it on your own. It's okay. You're not on your own. But the secret to this passage is what Jesus says in that verse 21, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. That problem, that concern, that addiction, that stronghold, that isn't broken except by prayer and fasting. That breakthrough that you're praying for, man, that doesn't happen except through prayer and fasting. So let me ask you, what breakthrough do you need? What do you need God to do? What have you been praying for maybe for years? What is it maybe that you stopped praying for because you've given up hope? Man, I want you to run to God during this season and say, God, I'm believing for a breakthrough. Because next week, starting on March 11th, we are collectively starting a 21-day fast here at the church. And I want to challenge everybody that is a member of Christ. This is your home. This is your church home. If you would say, I go to Christ Fellowship, I want you to join us on this fast in some way. And I believe that you're gonna experience breakthroughs. As I've been praying for this 21 days, I sense the Lord saying, I'm gonna break through some stuff. Some things that have been stuck are gonna be loosed by my spirit. Some walls that have gone up, they're gonna come down in this season. That things that have not been moved, habits that have been holding you back are gonna be broken. And I believe that hidden habits that nobody knows about, but you've been praying about, that in this 21 days, God is gonna break those things and you're gonna walk in freedom. But you've gotta say yes to the invitation to join Jesus in prayer and fasting. See, these next 3 weeks can be like the last 3 weeks, or they can actually be 21 days where you encounter the power and the presence of God. So here's my challenge to you, two things. I wanna challenge you first to commit. So today, just commit and say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm in for this fast. I'm gonna jump in to this fast. And I want you to commit, make a decision what you are fasting from and what you are fasting for. What are you gonna fast from? Because we're not talking about not eating any food for 21 days. We're talking about giving up certain foods, like you heard in the video, maybe the Daniel fast. We're gonna give up the meats and the sweets and the treats. And the alcohol, if you drink alcohol, we're gonna give all that up. We're gonna exercise our no muscle. Some, in addition to the Daniel fast, we're gonna give up TV because there's nothing on there feeding your soul, I guarantee. Some of you need to give up social media for 21 days. What if you took all the time you spent scrolling and you used it praying? Imagine what your soul would come out. So what are you committing to fast from, and then what are you committing to fast for? You received these note cards when you came in today. Why don't you take those out, because I'm gonna have you write on that before we move on. I want you to write down what you're fasting for. What is the breakthrough that you are believing God for? If you didn't get one of these, the ushers, they have one as they're walking through the aisles. You can come and you can just raise your hand and they'll get that to you. They got pins. I want you to take a moment before you leave today. You're gonna write down what breakthrough in your family, in your own life, in your own spirit. And then there's walls that we're gonna put these into, and we're gonna believe God and pray over this time. So the first thing is you're gonna commit. The second is that you're gonna prepare. The fast begins next weekend. Next Sunday night at sundown is when our fast begins together. So prepare this week. That doesn't mean go beef up and eat everything you can. Although I will be getting a Grimaldi's pizza before the fast begins. But it means prepare. What do I need to get out of the house? What do I need to get in the house? Spiritually prepare. You need to download the Christ Fellowship app if you don't have it, because our 21-day devotional guide is on there. We've got fasting guides. We've got prayer tools, all of it that's on that to guide you through the 21 days. So even if you're social media fasting, you're allowed to use the Christ Fellowship app. All right, so that there you go, right? Remember, this is a spiritual journey that we're going on. It's less about losing and more about gaining spiritual insight and connection with God. It's less about saying no to the body and saying yes to the spirit in this season. So you have a red letter invitation before you. How will you respond to Jesus? He's inviting you to experience his power, to know his voice, to know and experience his provision in supernatural ways. Don't let these next 3 weeks pass you by. I'm gonna give you a moment to write out what you need to write out on those cards, and then the campus pastors are going to come and pray over those prayer requests together. And then I want to tell you before we leave today, I've asked all the teams to lead us in one more declaration of what we're believing God for during these 21 days. Church, I love you. Julie and I are praying for you, and we are believing that these next few weeks together are going to experience the supernatural in our lives.
Thank you again for spending time with us today. If you're looking to take a step in discovering the more that God has in store for you, just text the word podcast to the number 441-441 and then select the option that applies to you. And if you enjoyed this message, just make sure that you subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. A special thanks to all of you who so generously give to all that God is calling us to do together. It's really because of you that everything we do is possible. We'll see you right back here for next week's message.